Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Beyond the Veil of Darkness. I'm your host, Jason Belchick. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Pandora Box from Season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race and Season 1 of RuPaul's Drag U. We're going to be talking to Pandora about how she got started in dragging and how it changed her life from being on RuPaul's Drag Race and Drag U, and also how she got started in drag and what was her inspiration to do drag, and also how she got started into writing music as well. Before we talk to Pandora, just want to let everybody know that it's Happy Father's Day. I want to wish every father out there Happy Father's Day, and it's also Pride Month here in Columbus, Ohio as well. I want to say Happy Pride to everybody. We got 5 months waiting for 4 or 5 months waiting for The Walking Dead to come back. I just got done reading an article online, I think it's on Facebook, I do believe, where Walking Dead got renewed up to season 12. I can't wait for how they're going to, you know, how they're going to pull this off. You know, I never really read the comic book or played the board game. Well, I played the board game last year during Christmas when I was up in Canada with seeing family and friends and stuff like that. I personally couldn't get into the board game of Walking Dead. It was just too complicated, and I don't know, it was just hard to figure out. But I also got, you know, I got hooked on like a lot of like interesting deaths and stuff like that. And I also got hooked on, you know, other kind of like, you know, really good board games and stuff like that. And also, I'm just counting down for the new season of Falling Skies coming back. And also, I'm also waiting for the seventh and final season of True Blood to come back on the June 22nd. You know, since I don't call HBO, I'm gonna have to go over to a friend's house to watch it. So I wonder how it's all gonna end. I wonder who's gonna die or who's gonna end up with Sookie. If people don't know, if they've never really watched True Blood, I read the book. You know, I mean, I really don't follow the books on the TV show because, like, a lot of the characters on the show are dead in the books that are alive on the TV show. And that's why I don't follow the books for the TV show. They're also, I was going to read another article online where they're going to be doing a remake of Stephen King's It. I really don't like remakes of classic horror movies or anything like that. I think, you know, they should be like left alone because it's its own type of genre, you know, during that time when it was first made. I think it was, I want to say it was made in like in the 90s, maybe it was like the 80s, I do, but I know when I seen it, I was scared to death because, you know, I was going, gosh, you know, a little kid back then, but they're doing a remake of that. They're also doing a remake of, what was it? They're doing another Goonies movie, I do believe. If I'm hearing this correctly, they're doing a remake of Goonies. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to go see the remake of Goonies. I'm not sure who's all going to be in it. You know, if it's a good, you know, cast, I'll definitely go see it. And, you know, I've got, like, a lot of stuff going on here right now, and, you know, I'm about to release my book. My book is called Ghosts and Legends. It's basically called Columbus Ghosts and Legends, and it's also called The Darker and Sinister Secrets of the Capital City. My book is about ghosts and legends of here in Columbus, Ohio. I'm also going to be including basically it's a true story of a true demonic possession that happened to a really good friend of mine's nephew. It was a very tragic story. It led to a murder and then to suicide. And so that's going to be mentioned in my book. I'm also going to be, you know, including a true story that actually happened here in Columbus, Ohio during the 1900s about an OSU professor who went down to the dark side, and he had a he murdered his student aide, and he had an affair with her and all this. It led to the biggest murder trial here in Columbus, Ohio during the 20s. And, you know, where I worked at before, it was where he was put to death, right across the street from where I worked at. So, when he murdered his student helper slash, you know, lover slash, whatever you want to call it, when he murdered her, it was a few, like, maybe about, like, a couple blocks away from my house where it happened in the 1918 or 1919, I can't really remember when, but it was just a few miles away from my house. So that was, now it's a part of the Columbus Police Academy, where all the newer police officers go and get trained and all this. And there's like a few books written about him. If you want to find it out, the guy's name is Dr. James Snook. He was basically a veterinarian here in Columbus, Ohio during the turn of the century. So, I mean, there's a book called Gold Medal Killer. There's another book. I can't really remember what it was called. There's also another one. It's not, you can't get a hold of it or anything like that. It's so old, it's behind glass. So you can look at it at the main library here in Columbus, Ohio, but you cannot get a copy of it. You know, and I'm also going to include that in my book as well. You know, I'm trying to include everything that I can think of. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I've been busy, really busy, you know, working on my show and, you know, making it very popular and giving it a totally different spin on what everybody else thinks what my show is about. I mean, my show is not going to be all going to be about paranormal and having, you know, like psychics and mediums and stuff like that. I want to give my listeners a totally different, you know, twist on Beyond the Veil of Darkness. You know, a lot of people tell me, you know, like, you know, why would you want to have drag queens in the show? I'm like, you know, I basically told them, you know, it's my show. I'm going to have on my show. So, I've been dedicating this month to gay pride and having, you know, some really awesome, you know, gay guests on my show. Like, you know, I had, Angina on my show from season one of RuPaul's Drag Race. I had, Tammy Brown. I had Alaska Thunderfuck on my show. She's really fabulous and gorgeous. I can't wait to meet her. I've been, you know, waiting to meet Pandora for a very long time. It took me this long to have Pandora on my show, and I just can't wait to talk to her. I also think, you know, I mean, I just want to give it a totally different spin on my show. I just want to give my viewers a different taste of who my guests are and stuff like that, you know, what they do and you know, how they do their profession and stuff like that. I know a lot of the drag queens who I have on my show, you know, if doing their drag and everything, it's kind of like a side hobby, or most of them it's their job, you know. You know, I just feel that, you know, I just admire about them, like, they can do this. And, you know, I mean, I just admire about them. I like how they can transform themselves into a totally different person. And I think that they're extraordinary, that they have this rare talent that they can tap into and just, like, pull something out of their hat and to make it gorgeous. So, I got so many questions here for Pandora. It's crazy. I think I have like 2, 3, or 4 pages of questions, and you know, when I mentioned it to my partner that I'm having Pandora on my show, you know, he's a really big fan of Pandora. You know, we've been watching Drag Race since it started airing on Logo, And you know, and then I got hooked. You know, I mean, I always had my favorite pick out of the whole entire, you know, of the drag queens who come onto RuPaul's Drag Race and everything. And I always like even have like this, you know, I can kind of relate to how they are. But I mean, I can relate to certain things, what they go through. You know, I mean, obviously being a gay man, you know, it's like a thing that we have to, you know, go through and fight for our rights for equality and marriage equality and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's like, I just had this one hater where, they said that, you know, you don't have the same family values and stuff like that, da la la. I'm like, you know, I'm like, really? I'm like, what kind of family values are you talking about? And they go, oh, about the right to get married and, you know, have children and all this. I mean, what's it to him, you know, that, you know, that we can get married, that we can get married and have children? He was like, you know, he just spat it off, all his hate speech. And I'm like, you know, I can't stand people who just like use their religion or their word as a weapon. I mean, if you're gonna you know use that as a weapon or saying that if there's like your God given right about you using your religion as a weapon towards the gay community, I'm like it's cool. You know, I mean it's like I mean we're not here to hurt anybody and stuff like that. You know, we're just trying to, you know, to fight for our rights and stuff like that. You know, I mean, we're all living people. You know, I mean, we're not like some depraved, you know, people from society and stuff like that. I mean, there's like, I would have to say there's like a lot of people who are like that in society. But I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not that type of person, and I'm not the person who, you know, goes out and looks for that guy. So I mean, I'm just your average, you know, radio host who does a show every Sunday and, you know, and who's openly gay and stuff like that. I'm like, I just, you know, I'm, you know, each to their own. You know, I'm like, if you don't push it on me, I won't push my beliefs on you or vice versa. You know, and just see yourself, you know, around me. I'm like, you know, I'm not that hard to get to know. I'm like, I mean, you know, personally, I mean, a lot of people who know me know who I am, you know, and they don't feel that if they feel uncomfortable being around me. So I mean, they are my true and closest friends who accept me for being me. So I just want to let people know about that. I mean, it's just how I am, you know. But if you don't like it, I'm like, you don't have to be friends with me. I'm like, I'm not gonna cry with spilled milk or, cry over God knows what. You know, I mean, just be yourself and have a good old time. And I'm like, just got to do what you got to do. I mean, it's like, I am not forcing anybody to be friends with me. I'm just want people just to be themselves. You know, that's all I got to say about that. And before we have Pandora come on, I just got done watching this new TV show that I found on. I think I found it on. I'm not sure if it's on YouTube or if it's on Netflix. I think it's on Netflix because I had this 1 free month of it. And it was called The Orange and the New Black. I so love that show because it's awesome. It all has its own unique quirkiness, and every different character is totally different. You know, I just went and got the first season of it on DVD. I'm hooked on it. I'm just waiting for the next season to come on DVD. So I'm really hooked on it anymore. Yeah. And it's also based on a book as well, too. I mean, I never read the book, so people who did, let me know if it's the same thing as the TV show or totally different. I don't know. I never read the book, so I can't wait for that. I'm also waiting for the new season of Resilient Isles and other things like that. So I can't wait for the new season of that. It's coming back this Monday. There's another show that I'm also can't wait for Falling Skies. And, you know, I mean, there's so many TV shows I have interest in, and it's so hard for me to watch all of them. So I'm probably going to be talking about that as well. So, yeah. I'm, you know, bear with me, everybody. I'm just getting over a cold, so I'm just getting over this. So bear with me, everybody. Welcome to the show, Pandora.
Thank you.
So, Pandora, can you tell everybody the essence of Pandora Box?
The essence of Pandora Box. Vodka, laughs, and penis.
So Pandora, how would you describe Pandora's character? How would you describe her?
I would say that she's just a sassy laugh, like looking to spread laughter to all the people.
So how did you come about? To writing on music, like, and how did you come about doing the song called like Cooter, and all the other really fun videos that I see on YouTube?
I kind of always have written since I was young, and I've always written like poems and songs, but I didn't know how to write music, so I never had any words to it, and. After Drag Race, I kind of met some people, and because I co-wrote the song with a gay rapper named Gypsy, and then two guys, David Petrilla and Joe Cole, made the music for it, and he worked with them, so he got me hooked up with them for the song Cooter, and I don't know, we just got together, we started writing, we wrote another song, but then we ended up with that one, which is kind of silly and ridiculous, but... I think drag queens and music kind of go together because we're always lip syncing and it's a big part of the music. And I know I'm not an amazing singer, but I wanted to, like, you know, put something out there, and I'm having fun with it. So,
right. I remember the first time when RuPaul's Drag Race came on, then when season two started, and then, you know, I got so drawn in by your character. I'm like, you know, you just made me laugh throughout the whole entire second season because, you know, you weren't really obnoxious, from what season it was. I think when they did the whole entire like Heathers, you know, they were so obnoxious I couldn't stand it. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you weren't like that. You're so open and friendly, and you know, you weren't like, you know, throwing like any kind of like mean shade or anything like that. I was really drawn in by your character. And I would have to say my partner is a really big fan of yours. You know, he's like, when I mentioned to him that you're coming on my show, he goes like, I wish I could, you know, just stay home and listen to the show and everything like that. But he had to go and work and everything. He's like, you know, he was just such a big fan of yours.
That's sweet. You should have told him to quit his job.
You know, I wish he could. You know, we just gotta pay bills, and that's one way. You know, we gotta, you know, deal with stuff. So what would be okay? What was your favorite city to perform at, and why?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't really have a favorite city because sadly, it's like I'm in and out the door before the condom comes off usually because I'll come into the gig during the day. I'll probably have to take some kind of like rest or plan what the show is, do the show, leave really early, and probably go to the next one. So a lot of times I don't really get to see any of the city. But, you know, I love New York City. New York City is always fun, and I love like Portland and Seattle, and Vancouver is a great city. I just got back from Sydney, Australia. I really liked it there. There's so many great cities. I feel like I'm, like, thankful that people like, still support me, because a lot of times with Drag Race, it's like it's all about the current season, and mm-hmm. I'm thankful that people are still paying attention to me, and I was on the show back in, like, 1862 or whenever it was on.
I would have to say before I came on to do my show, I was watching some of your videos on YouTube, and one of them was, like, called The Stupid Shit That Drag Queens Say. I would have to say you just, like, made me laugh so bad. My gut was hurting because I was like, you know, it was so funny. I'm going, like, I just couldn't hold it in anymore because it was, like, you know, it was so hilarious. I'm like, it was crazy. I just love that kind of humor, you know.
Thank you. And actually, if you're backstage, that is kind of what it sounds like sometimes. You're like, nobody's even speaking in complete sentences.
So it's like, you know, they're like, you know, they're like, you know, they're like, girl, and stuff like that, you know, like, you know, like how you said, like, when you said, I am what? I am sickening, you know, like how, I think, was it Shangela that said, I'm sickening a lot? I can't remember.
Yeah, she did say it a lot.
You know, I'm like, people have, like, these certain things they keep on saying over and over, and it just kind of gets annoying after a while, but, you know, So how did you discover doing drag? Was it like a calling, or was it just like came across by pure accident?
I just went to a drag show. I didn't even really know what it was because it was part of I used to live in Rochester, New York, and there's a Park Ave festival, which Park Ave is kind of like the arty street in town, and they have a festival mm-hmm. up here. And this one year they had a drag show on somebody's porch, and I didn't know what it was, but my boyfriend at the time brought me to it, and I saw Darian Lake perform, who actually was on the current season, or this last season of Drag Race. And I saw her perform, and I'm like, I want to go to there. I want to do that. And so I became friends with her, and she kind of helped me, and then I never took off a dress.
So did you have like a certain influence when you first started doing drag? Did you have like a drag mother or anything, someone to help guide you to doing like the proper ways of doing drag?
Yeah, Darian definitely was. She was a huge influence. I mean, she did my makeup for years, or maybe not years, but she did it for a long time. Until she started giving me, like, dirty looks when she was doing it, because I knew. Then I was like, I'm going to have to start learning to do it myself, because she does not want to keep doing this every single
right.
time we go out.
Right.
So, yeah, she was a huge help to me.
Yeah, I just admire people who can do, like totally different characters, and, like, how you came out with, like, every, like, a totally different look throughout the season. But when you got eliminated, I was like crushed. I was like, you know, like, you're my favorite throughout, you know, the whole entire second season. And I was going like, oh, you know, one of my favorite queens got eliminated. I was saying, I'm not sure if I'm gonna ever want to watch the show again. Because, I mean, every time when I get, like, you know, a certain, you know, if I want to have, a favorite, you know, I root for that person to keep on going until they make, like, final three. I was like, I was really hoping... And, you know, that you'll bring home the crown and stuff like that, you know, that you'll be, like, the second season winner of Drag Race. But, you know, I mean, it was kind of like one of those moments where, you know, you kind of feel, like, defeated in a way. But, I mean, like, for, like, a fan that you're going, like, oh, you know, I'm like, you know, people, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying it's in a bad way, but I was just really hoping that you would, you know, won the second season.
Well, I was too, but I kind of became clear that I wasn't going to, because I felt like I was trying to do everything that they asked, and then when I would do it, I still wouldn't win a challenge, and then somebody else would, like, not do that well, or they didn't like the runway but loved something they did, but kept telling me that I didn't win because of this reason, and then somebody else won, even though it was the same reason they said I didn't win like before. So I'm kind of like, oh, all right, well, I'll just try and go as far as I can. And now in later seasons, it seems like they really relish in the fact of, you know, people being different or comedy queens or, you know, there's been queens that have won that they didn't like their runway through most of it. And then Jinx won, and because it was more about the talent, how amazing she is, and they didn't like her outfits all the time, but that didn't matter because that's what the fans wanted. So, and I'm really glad that she won. I think she's amazing.
Yeah, I never seen Jinx perform yet. You know, I'm like every time when a favorite of the show come into my the city that I'm living now, I'm in Columbus, Ohio. And like I think the one time you came to Access, and you know, and then you went to Union, and I kind of I couldn't really make it, and because it was like, I work a day job, and trying to bounce that, and get up in the morning for work, and I'm like, but I'm hoping that you come back to Columbus, and I guess finally actually get to meet you, and to your performance, I've seen so many performances throughout my time, but I lived in Pittsburgh and stuff like that. I lived right there in town, and I can basically just walk to the like the Pegasus or whatever bars are there for people to perform. What was it like to meet someone like RuPaul for the very first time?
First I have to say that I actually really love Columbus. I love performing in Columbus because it's a really fun city, and I always have a great time when I'm there. But to answer your question, it's very surreal because you're kind of thrown into this environment, and then you don't know what's going on, and then, there's RuPaul. Especially with our season, because our season was so different from season one, like just the look of it and all the challenges were kind of bumped up, and because they had gotten a bigger budget. But RuPaul is very, approachable and nice and pretty much like how you see him on TV. The only thing is that he can't really talk to us too much because they're trying to, keep us separated. So he'll talk, but it's he's not just hanging out with us.
Right. Did you ever have a fun challenge that you did on a second season of Drag Race?
A fun what?
A fun challenge that you ever did on the second season?
Well, the most fun challenge was the Snatch Game, definitely.
Especially when you did Carol Channing, I love Carol Channing because, drew in her personality and how she, was, how she is and how you drew all that in and just basically channeled it. I think that was really awesome.
Thank you.
So if you can pick any queen from any season to perform with, who would it be and why?
Gosh, there's so many. It's the test one. I would say Jujubee because I love performing with her, or Alaska. I guess if I was going to do something with somebody, if it was a duo kind of act, I think I would pick Alaska because I think we have similar sense of humor, but it's different enough that we would be an interesting combination on stage.
Right. I just had Alaska on my show a couple of weeks back, and I never met her. Since I had her on my show, she was so sweet and nice, and, it was it kind of felt like that we've known each other for years, but we're from from the same state. We're from Pennsylvania. Then she moved out to Los Angeles. I just really admire how she, did everything. I mean, she's not like these types of queens who how Michelle always said how she always said do not rely on your body. Some past queens always relied on their body and all that the beauty and stuff like that, but Alaska, she just kept on, giving a totally different character, every time. I don't like the queens who just stick to one character. I really don't like that. I like to see different sides of the person who's performing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Alaska's great. She's so talented and so nice. And I really like working with her. And actually, she lives like 7 minutes from me. We just realized the other day, because we're always traveling so much that we don't get to hang out. But we went to dinner because a friend of mine, one of my best friends, was in town because she was traveling with Alaska to go to Alaska. And then I said I would pick Alaska up, and I was like, oh, my God, he was like 7 minutes away.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I knew she lived close, but I didn't realize how close it was.
Right, right. So what was it like working with Alaska in her Rue Girls video?
It was fun. It was really quick. Like, I just kind of came there and did my thing. And then she had to shoot after, too. So it was fun because Manila was there and Jessica. I was like, there's somebody else. Jessica was there. So it was fun. But it was quick. We weren't there too long.
Right. So what do you think of Alaska's My Makeup is Terrible video?
I think it's great. Like, I think it's very artistic. Like, I'm sure I can come up with a better word right now than just saying it's very artistic. But but it is. It's really, it's cool. It's different. I really love that she got Matthew Anderson to do that little, like, fabulous sketch spot. So I think it's great. I love the song. She was actually doing a song when we were on the Battle of Seasons tour, and I really liked it then. So,
right. You know, first time I seen her make up a terrible video, I'm like, and she like, you know, like shaving her head. I'm like, don't shave your head, because I mean, I like when she did that. I'm like, I thought it was like maybe like a wig or something that she was shaving, because it looked
no,
so.
No, it's her head. She shaved her head.
I'm like, oh my, no, don't shave the head, because I mean, I'm not used to seeing it when I seen her like in at towards the end of the video, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she really did shave her head. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't. That's my preference. I'm not as fond of seeing people who shave their head, and I'm like, I mean, but I also love the how she had towards the end of her video when they're throwing all the makeup and everything, you know, she had like the someone coming out of the video is like, your makeup is terrible. That I think that was really cool too, you know, and they're like shaking all the makeup off, and that's really cool. I just admire Alaska how she is, you know.
Yeah.
So are you currently doing anything in the works right now, Pandora?
Anything in the what?
In the works, like traveling, you know, doing performances.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, since the show, I've been traveling nonstop. And I just did a small Australian tour and just got back this past Monday. And then I'm doing Syracuse Pride this coming up week, and then I'm in Atlanta, and then I'm in New York City for the rest of the month doing a few things. I have a new stand-up show that I'm going to start touring with, and then I have a new music video, but I don't know exactly when it's coming out, but I think probably in July.
Oh, cool. I can't wait for that. Do you have any plans to coming back to Columbus, Ohio?
I hope to, because I love Nina West, and I told her I want to come back, and we get along really well. And I also have a friend, Helena Troy, that does shows there, too. So, yeah, I'm sure I will, because I love Columbus, and they seem to like me. So, because it's all about, like, who books you. Like, you don't really sit there and go, oh, I would like to go here. Well, maybe a Jordan Delano can do that right now because she's really popular. Maybe she could just be like, I'd like to come here.
Yeah.
Or Bianca. Yeah. Bianca could just name where she wants to go.
Yeah. When, like, this season is just passed, did you kind of figure out that Bianca was going to win the crown, or were you, like, totally, you know, like, shocked that she won, or were you hoping someone else is going to win, or?
Well, I think when the cast was first announced, I thought that Courtney was probably going to be the winner because she was really strong. But I knew Bianca was too, so it kind of was like, I just wasn't sure how people were going to respond to Bianca because she's just of her way and the things that she says. Like, I think she's hysterical. And I was like, I think people are going to really think she's funny. And I hope they do because she is funny. And then when, like, the audience just started, like, and the people watching the show just loved her. Like, everything was about Bianca from, like, this whenever the episode she was on. I'm like, okay. And everything she did was very solid, and she looked great, and she nailed all the challenges. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised. I kind of figured she was, although at the very end, I was like, well, you know, Adore could win it, too, because Adore did really well and is super talented.
Yeah.
And, you know, has an album that just charted on the Billboard chart, so, yeah. But I kind of figured it would be Bianca, and I'm glad. I think that she definitely deserved it, so.
Right. So have you got a chance to work with Adore yet?
I worked with Adore because we both live in L.A. Well, she lives, I think, outside of L.A., but I worked with her a few times here on shows. So that's it, like just local shows, but I haven't worked with her since the show. But she's going to, I mean, she just filled out like her concert in Gramercy Theater in New York, so. She will be very, very busy. She's actually really sweet and really nice and fun.
Right. You know, I've been watching like season 6 and stuff like that, and I felt kind of I really felt bad for LaGanja because you know everybody felt like she was being. Not there, so like she was still like everybody was like ganging up on her, and you know, and I think she's kind of like the type of person who wears her heart on her sleeve, you know, that kind of like, you know, it's like she's like I don't know, she seems to me like that she's like very like emotional, I mean, and but in a good way, but not to the point where you know it's like people can just easily attack her and stuff like that. I mean, but I felt that she was being like, you know, like being like, I don't know, I can't really describe the word, but I felt sorry for her just the way she felt like people are coming at her, you know?
Wait, are we talking about LaGanja?
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't hear the name and I was like, no, I think it's about LaGanja. Well, I think, honestly, I got that she was feeling like everyone was coming from her and like in that situation. And, you know, people don't realize how stressful it is anyway. It's just being there and having cameras and just going all day. But I just think that they were just trying to tell her something, but she just was not listening. Like, she just was not hearing what they were saying because they weren't really coming at her. They were just, like, kind of saying, why are you talking like this? Why are you acting a way that people that have known you have never seen you act? And I don't know. She just wasn't. She was hearing it more as they're attacking, and they were just kind of going, "What are you doing?"
Right, right. You know, that's like it's kind of like it kind of went in one ear and out the other. You know, maybe she didn't want to hear what they were saying at a certain extent. But you know,
I mean, I definitely like from my observation, and you know, all I have to go is what I see on the show, and I mean, I know people outside of the show, but I didn't see them as attacking her. Like, I just saw that she heard something else than what was coming out of their mouth. She didn't hear, because I just took it as, you know, why are you, like, because she doesn't talk in, like, mamas and clicks and okay and all that, like,
right.
She may talk like that once in a while, but she doesn't, like, that's not how she talks all the time, especially when everybody's being, like, real in the moment. They're like, why are you, what are you doing?
Right. What kind of advice would you give to all the new queens out there who's starting out in drag?
Don't do it because we don't need you to take our jobs. well, there's so much. There's so many, like, makeup tutorials on YouTube, and there's so much information out there that it's a lot easier to start doing drag now than, like, when I started or, you know, even a few years ago because of Drag Race, it's gotten so much more attention, so much more popular. So it's, you know, you just have to learn it and be a good performer.
So do you think you also have to grow a tough skin to be a drag queen in order to deal with all the blows and you know, and attacks that you get for, you know, being a drag queen in modern day society?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, because you're not only going to get it from people that think what you're doing is disgusting, you're also going to get it from people that watch the show, or see your pictures online, and they're just going to say nasty things, well, just to say them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be opening yourself up to a lot of critiques and stuff. So you do have to, and you just have to, like, kind of blow it off, because most of the time, they're not being constructive, because it's like they're not even saying anything worthwhile, like when they're ripping you apart online. You should probably just get in the habit of not reading the comments.
Right. So did you ever feel when you were on Drag Race, did you ever feel like that people were kind of like, say, like how they always say, like they're like coming for you in a way that you know, that they're like kind of jealous of like how who you are?
I didn't feel it as much on season 2. I mean, I felt some of it, like some of the comments would just be like downright nasty for no reason, or just saying that I was ugly or saying whatever else. But I did definitely feel like it after All Stars. I did feel like I got a lot of hate messages and about how awful I was and this and that and how I was treating Mimi. And I'm like, okay, like, I know you guys only see the show, you don't see everything else, but
right,
it's a little more to this whole story than what you're seeing.
Right.
And honestly, the fairs weren't, the teams weren't fair. They weren't fair to anybody that had come in and done the show. And you know, life isn't fair, so I get it, and they're trying to make it, like, dramatic, but it's obviously the teams, certain teams had already advantages from the beginning, and my team had a disadvantage because Mimi is a great performer and really good at what she does, but she kind of came in as I was going to say redhead stepchild, but I don't want to be offensive to redheaded people, but kind of like that, like, it's just like, she was like the dark horse of the whole thing. Was like, you know, the one that got eliminated. There was a controversy around that. She was most controversial, and that was it. That was my big thing. I didn't think we would get a fair chance at it.
Right. You know, I mean, I personally watched All Stars. You know, I didn't finish the whole season when you got eliminated. That's my stop, because, you know, they didn't give you a chance to give what you all can give. You know, I just felt that you're robbed, that you didn't give what y'all can give and make all the people see, you know, who Pandora Box really is. You know, I mean, they didn't give you a chance. I mean, that's how I feel.
Yeah, and it was not really a fun experience. And I think that's, for me, why I was so disappointed, because I had gone in with all these expectations. And that's kind of something I learned from it, is you can't go in with all these expectations, because in that you will just be disappointed in anything in life. If you set your expectations so high, it's just nothing's ever going to be there. So,
right. You know, I'm hoping to see you on season 2 of season 2 coming out of I can't think of the name. And I know it's not All Stars. Crap, my mind went blank now. I lost my concentration. but yeah, I was really hoping that there was going to be like a season 2 of Drag U, but from when I was told it was canceled, I was like, I was really hoping for it to come back and see you come back as a professor and you know, and like teach like all the ladies how to do drag, you know, you know, I find that hilarious when you have like straight women all come on and do drag. And I'm like, you know, how can a straight lady do drag? Because I'm like, I kept on like giggling every time when they do all these kind of costumes and stuff like that. I love that. It was something to just make me laugh throughout the day, just make my day a little bit brighter.
Well, we did 3 seasons of it, so it had a pretty good run. It was fun to do. I think the concept was a little weird for some people. Like, some people didn't get it. I think that was what it was. I thought it was great because you really saw some of these women that really kind of felt, you know, just felt grumpy and didn't feel fabulous, and then I saw how fabulous it would be. And it was like night or day watching their attitudes change, and so that's really what it was about. And it kind of got lost a little in, you know, all the drag and everything, but...
Right.
I had fun doing it. I had a lot of fun the first season when we did the celebrities at the end, and I got to work with Erin Murphy, who played Tabitha on Bewitched, and she specifically said she would only work with me, and I was thrilled that she wanted to work with me, and she was so much fun, like so much fun. She made the whole experience amazing.
Right. You know, I remember the episode of Drag You where RuPaul's sisters came on, and he goes like, "What? It's my sisters!"
They all got really low scores too. That's why they changed the rating system. The next season, they didn't use like points because or grades. This Ru was like, "This is because all my sisters got low grades. We got rid of the grade system."
Right. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure how you feel about I'm not sure if you want to talk about something, but how RuPaul is defending the word tranny, how Carmen Carrera got all offended by RuPaul using the word tranny and stuff like that. It's been like blowing up on Facebook a lot, you know. And I know a lot of people are, you know, they're defending the word tranny, and a lot of them are like kind of, you know, it's kind of like a turnoff for them, you know, because I'm not sure how I'm not sure how you feel about that, and they also how they get away with the whole entire, you know, how RuPaul says, you know, like, you got Chanel and stuff like that, how they get away with that in season 6, you know, how they get away with almost like everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like a touchy situation because I certainly understand both sides of it, and I certainly don't ever want to call somebody something that really hurts them or really is offensive to them. But at the same point, the word tranny has like a different history behind it than what it has become to mean to some people. You know, it also meant transvestite, which are drag queens, and you know, it's often a term of endearment, or it's just something we called each other. So, but I certainly understand, you know, the people that have been victims of physical abuse and been called that while they were being abused, which is horrible. But for me, it's kind of like when you start word policing and taking words out of the vernacular, really the only ones that you're taking it away from are the ones that really weren't going to use it as a derogatory word anyway, and the people that were hurting you before, they're still going to say it.
Right.
But then on the other hand, it's like if you kind of teach people, like with certain other words, that it's kind of like teaching them that it's not okay to call us that. So it's kind of like I see it from all different sides, but I'm kind of like a person that just doesn't believe that we should get rid of words, or I think that we empower the words, so it's kind of like you have to take the power away from the word yourself, because I don't really get offended when someone calls me a faggot. I'm just like, okay. And I used to, when I was younger, it used to really hurt me, but now I'm like, well... I'm like, one, I mean, if you're calling me gay, I am gay, so that's fine.
Right.
It's something I don't know.
Right. It's kind of like term of endearment or whatever, like how they always, like, you know, like, they're out certain words, like how some people, it's like a term of endearment. You know, I also try not to let words, like, hurt me, because, you know what I mean? you know, when I was growing up, I didn't know what the word gay was or whatever, because, you know, until I figured out later on that, you know, oh yeah, I'm that word, you know, I'm like, I had a lot of like hurtful things said by family and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, it's the point where you gotta brush it off, and or how like Jinx says, you know, like water up a duck's back, you know.
Yeah, it's just transgender people are really kind of fighting for rights that they don't have, and it's a tumultuous time because it's all coming to light now, and it's all like, hey, we're tired of this. We need the rights that we are deserved. And but I kind of wish that more people were focused on that aspect instead of a word on a drag queen competition show. And I know that it has a lot of visibility, but it's not a serious show. Like, there are some serious elements to it. But the other thing is that nobody's been called a tranny in a derogatory way on that show ever. And even that You Got Chemo is like a play on You Got Email from America's Top Model. And it was never I never thought of it as like shemale. I thought of it as like a girl email. Like, that's all my thing ever was. I think maybe with this season, with the female or shemale, that's really what kind of got a couple people angry. And, you know, maybe, and I kind of agree with it, but in the same respect, it was like they never showed a trans woman on there, and they were not involved in the game. And it kind of was an interesting statement because it would do a close-up of it, and it kind of showed like close-up. We all kind of, you can't really tell. We all kind of look the same, and you don't really know. And so I thought of it more like that. But again, you know, that's not my life. Like, if I was trans, I might see that and be really offended by it. So I get it. And I think that maybe the show was right in taking that out of the show, that element, and not having that in there. But the other stuff, I'm kind of like, well, I don't know. And I just don't think that Rue's not out to hurt anybody. And you're I don't know, it's just kind of like the things I already said, but I definitely understand it from those sides of it.
Yeah, I remember the first time that I seen RuPaul on, I think it was when she made a guest appearance on Tuong Fu Thinks Everything Julie Newmar. And then I seen her on her, when she did her talk show. I think it was on, VH1 or MTV back in the 90s. And
it was VH1.
And, you know, I didn't know what a drag queen was back then. You know, I didn't know what a drag queen was and stuff like that. You know, I thought, you know, RuPaul was a woman because, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, she started, you know, doing like, she came out, you know, Drag Race and everything. I seen him in male drag and stuff like that. You know, it kind of, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, I have friends who do drag and stuff like that, but it's not for me. But I mean, I support my friends who do drag because I think it's one way of like channeling their inner talent and making it come to life in a way that no one else has seen it. You know, I mean, it's kind of like something that gives them some, you know, something creative to do and make it become their profession, you know, in order to, you know, to make people laugh and entertain people and stuff like that. That's how I see, and you know, my friends who do drag, they just want to go out there and make people laugh and make people feel comfortable and just like have a good old time with their fans and all that. That's how I see it. I mean, maybe everybody else has a totally different way of seeing drag, but I mean, that's how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, it is fun, and that's why you give up. That's why so many people want to go to the shows, and that's why some like Drag Race is so popular, because drag, it's fun. And then at the same point, it there's a deeper level where it's kind of giving a big like fuck you to all the gender rules that are like saying this is how men should dress, this is how women should dress, this is how men should look, this is how women should look. And it's kind of like people made up those rules. Like, you're not born with those gender stereotypes and rules. And it kind of shows you, like, with all of those gone, you know, what kind of world would it be if we didn't have those, so many of those things? And it's like, you could just do whatever you want. You could dress it however you want. And I think people would be freer to be who they really are.
You know, I don't like using labels myself, but, I mean, a lot of my friends who don't know that I'm gay, and they kind of assume, but they don't really say it, ask me. And they go, you know, that I have a partner, and they go, like, you know, which one's the top, which one's the bottom, or which one's the male, or which one's the female? I'm like, that kind of really offends me, because, you know, I don't like, you know, when people say, you know, if you're a bottom, they all say, oh, yeah, you are the female. I'm like, that really bothers me a lot. So I'm like, you know, I don't like using labels. I think that's really, to me, I think that's really offensive to me, because I don't like people, you know, saying that, oh, yeah, I'm the female. I'm like, ah, no, you know.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like the whole gender things that we have, the gender rules. Like, they can't grasp the concept of, no, there is no female because we're both men. That's why we're gay.
Yeah.
So there's no female in the relationship. But people don't understand that because for so long it's ingrained in everyone's head of the roles of a husband and wife or a man and a woman. And I mean, it wasn't too long ago that women didn't have any rights whatsoever. They're still, like, kind of struggling for equality. They couldn't even vote. So it's kind of like, it's just this, you just think about it and you're like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, these rules don't make any sense whatsoever. Like, why? Like, why? Like, they're just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, when you're basically going, like, you know, what's the point of having, like, these gender rules? You know, I mean, a lot of people don't follow the gender rules. You know, I mean, you know, some people do, some people don't. You know, I'm not sure if you watched the whole entire, like, the Eurovision thing, how Conchita West won the Eurovision contest.
Conchita West.
Yeah, to the worst. Yeah, I love that song that she did. You know, Rise of the Phoenix. That's like been my you know, song that I love so far. Because I'm like, you know, being, you know, doing drag in a country where, you know, it's not, you know, but I'm not sure it's politically correct or PC. Or certain people feel like, you know, why would a man want to put on a dress and keep the beard and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, a drag queen is, you know, a smooth guy who just, you know, doesn't have, like, no body hair and, you know, doesn't do makeup about, you know, like, shaving or whatever, or doing whatever. But I think people have that mindset and set in their mind that, you know, that, you know, why would a guy put a dress on just to do, they're saying that maybe they're doing it for kicks or whatever. I don't, you know, I mean, a lot of people probably still think that way, but I don't know.
I think it's great that she won and she did so well and so many people responded so well and, like, embraced her. And that really shows that, I mean, there was a lot of hate as well, but that's to be expected. But it just shows that we have come quite far. I mean, there's still a long way to go, but the fact that she won, the fact that there's, like, positive attention going her way, and she's gorgeous and has a beard, and it's just, like, that whole thing is just, that isn't, like, a real, like, you know, piss-off gender rules, and who cares? And that's, like, that's somebody that's just, this is me, this is what I want to be, and this is what I'm going to be, and people respond really well to it, because I think that's what people want to be. I think people just want to be able to be like that and able to just be,
right.
Hey, this is how I'm going to be. This is how I express myself. I'm going to put some eyeliner on. I'm a boy. I'm putting eyeliner on. I'm going outside.
Right.
I'm going to wear heels, and I'm a boy.
Right.
And that's I'm going to wear boy clothes and heels.
I remember when you first came on season 2 of Drag Race, and I didn't know you were a boy, and I'm like, that's awful, really pretty girl. And when you get out of drag and you're in your boy clothes, and I'm like, is that really Pandora? I'm like, you know, like, I kept on looking, you know, because you look so different in your female drag and when you're doing your boy drag. Cause, you know, I mean, I'm like, it kind of confused me a little bit. But I mean, I'm like, you make a really good girl, and you also make a really, you know, really good guy too. I'm like, that's what I like about you, because you can, you know, you have like this different side of you where you give everybody, you know, the different side of Pandora. When you're like out of your female dragon and your boy dragon, I mean, probably a lot of people probably, you know, automatically stop you on the street and say, "Oh yeah, it's Pandora box," you know, like, you know.
Well, thank you.
Welcome. You know, I just find like how people can do something like that. I just admire people who can do all of that, and you know, it's one of those rare talents that people have, and if you want to choose to like embrace it and stuff like that, and you know, channel your creativity. Did you ever have a challenge that you didn't like during, you know, your time on Drag Race?
Well, yeah, there was a couple. I didn't really like the one where we had to go outside in Hollywood Boulevard and sell cherry pie gift certificates. It was awful. People really were running away from us and scared. No one spoke English that we were talking to, so it was in a daylight and hot and gross.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, being on the street of Hollywood Boulevard and, you know, doing that in the summertime. You're like, I'm dying, you know, wearing all this makeup, and you never know if it's going to run or whatever, you know. It's like, I don't know. I think that'd be like the most uncomfortable thing trying to do when it's like so hot.
Yeah.
Out. You know,
and you're worried
out.
Because no one's paying attention to us, and we're like, oh my God, because no, we don't want to lose a challenge, and you don't want to go home. And so it's like, yeah, well, that one wasn't, and the eating one wasn't fun either, because I don't really eat that much food, and it was kind of gross. And I didn't want to throw up on camera. I'm like, I don't want to throw up on camera because I'm going to throw up if I keep eating this.
Right. So how did your family embrace Pandora? Were they kind of like, you know, like they're trying to figure out who Pandora was, or just like automatically accepted you doing drag?
It took them a while to kind of warm up to the idea, because I don't know, if you don't know anything about drag and you're told about it, there's probably some misconceptions about what it's like. And so they took my mom to a show, and then she kind of liked that people were like giving her free drinks, and she got the VIP treatment, so then she loved it. My father, before he passed away, it took him a while, but he came and saw a play that I had written, was in drag, and he actually really liked it. And then my mom said every time she would come home, he was watching Drag Race, like anytime it was on the TV. So for him, it took longer, but
right.
My mother accepted it pretty early on. Like when she saw a show and came to a show, she was okay with it, because she just didn't, she thought I was a prostitute. Really, I think that's what she thought. So.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I think it's one of those things that parents, you know, they have to fully understand, you know, that you're doing this for, you know, as a profession, and you know that you're traveling, you're making all these different kind of, you know, business contacts. That, oh, you know, next time I'm gonna be like in Atlanta, and next time I'm gonna be like in, I don't know, like, say like Detroit, Michigan or something. You never know. It's like one of those things that you never know where you're gonna be going next time. You know, next time if you're gonna be hopping the plane or driving the car or, you know.
Yeah.
So how was your time in Australia? What was that like?
It was really quick, which I was kind of sad about, because it really was mostly shows, and I wish I would have been able to, like, work it out so I could have stayed longer. But it was fun. It's really amazing to go, like, to Australia, and they know who I am, and they're coming to my show, and I got to do my stand-up comedy show there, which was amazing, because that's, like, something really, like, important to me and something I want to do more of. So yeah, it was great. All the people were really, really fun, really nice. All the queens were lovely there, so it was great.
So do you have, like any other places that you want to travel, like overseas?
Well, I've never been to Europe, so I want to go to Europe. And I am going because there's a European Drag Stars at Sea cruise that we're doing with Alan Chuck Travel. And so I'm doing that, so I do get to see part of Europe. But I would really love to go to the UK and Sweden.
Sweden, see the Swedish boys.
yeah, I am Swedish. Both my, I'm Swedish from both sides of my family. So.
Oh wow, that's cool. Yeah, you know, for me, I would love to see go to Germany because you know part of my family is German and the rest my mom's side is Polish. So you know, I mean, I get all the temperament and the temperament from my dad's side because since my dad's parents are German, I get like the German attitude and you know I get like that fiery you know like you know German you know like you know voice when I talk with you know especially when I get upset I tend to speak German you know but you know it's crazy because you know my dad's parents never spoke a word of English at all.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was like you got to learn how to speak German with them. You also had to learn how to speak Polish to my mom's mom and dad. But I, you know, my mom's mom and dad spoke like broken English. They can speak a little bit of it, but not enough to carry on a conversation from all I was told. So I get all that, you know, all that.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to go there. I would love to go to I would love to go to Ireland. See all that. You know, I would love to go to Ireland and maybe go to Iceland or whatever. You know, I'm like, I got so many places I want to go see, but it's never going to happen, but, you know, but you never know.
So. I would love to go anywhere in Europe. I want to go to Hawaii, too.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a plan. I also seen on your Facebook page that you're a huge fan of Walking Dead.
I am, yes.
So what do you think is going to happen on season 6?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing with Walking Dead. You never know what's going to happen. But I'm pretty sure that the people of Terminus are cannibals. Like, that's my money is on cannibals because there's something off there. And I know that there's cannibals in the comic book. Although, I mean, because they get a lot from there, but they've changed a lot, too. So, I don't know. I mean, anything can happen. I would actually really like them to, like, keep some characters alive. I think that would be a nice switch, you know, try and give us something, give us some drama and give us something that we're unexpected without killing us a lot.
Yeah, so what do you think happened to Beth at the end of season 5?
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, I kind of thought that she was taken by the people from Terminus, but I'm not sure what's going on with her.
Yeah, I'm like,
maybe
I was
she's like, maybe she was taken by like a group of other people that they're going to miss, they're going to meet up with or something.
I don't know, but I'm like, I was trying to figure that out too. And I also think, you know, I remember when Lizzie was on the show and she was like kind of like, you know, cray cray and everything, she's like, you know, like, the Walkers are my friend, they're not gonna hurt me and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, I'm like, great, Lizzie, you're so cray cray. You know, I'm like, oh, I love you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I really like about The Walking Dead, because I kind of do really like zombie movies, anything, even if they're terrible, like I will at least watch part of it. But I really like that it's done very realistically, like as long as, you know, as realistic as a zombie apocalypse is. But if it were to happen, like Walking Dead pretty much nails exactly, you know, human behavior and what would happen. And it is kind of like, you have somebody that is clearly insane, who has become unhinged or was unhinged and clearly needs to be medicated like Lizzie, or therapy, and you don't have it. What are you going to do? You can't take her anywhere. You also can't go to sleep because she just, spoiler alert, in case anyone hasn't seen it, she just killed her sister.
Yeah.
So she's going to kill anybody. So you don't, there's no options. That was the only option.
Right. And, You know, I was thinking, you know, when how poor Carol had a whacker and everything like that. I'm like, I kind of seen that coming, you know, but I wasn't really sure what episode was going to happen in. And, you know, and Lizzie went and killed her little sister, and she was like, I didn't destroy the brain. She'll come back. And then she was, if they would have waited a little bit longer, that she would have probably killed poor little Judith and everything. I'm going like, you know, that would just be wrong, you know, being a little, you know, a baby walker, you know, trying to walk, and you get, I can't walk. My legs won't work.
Yeah, that was definitely, I think, probably one of the most intense episodes.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it because I was like, gunshot go off so I can like when I can look, you know, I'm like, that was just messed up, you know, especially when she was like, you know, Carol came running out of the house and seeing a walker right behind Lizzie. And, like, and Carol killed that walker. She was like, she was my friend. You do not understand. You know, I'm like,
yeah.
You know, she was definitely, you know, poor little Lizzie, she was definitely off her bipolar medication that day. You know.
Yeah, clearly.
You know, and there's actually a T-shirt out where it says, keep calm, look at the flowers.
That's funny.
Yeah, because I seen it on Facebook when before I came on to do my show. I'm going like, this is gonna be so hilarious. I'm like, it says, keep calm, look at the flowers. I can't remember, something like that. And I'm like, I got to get this T-shirt, you know. I'm like, if I can never find out where it's at. I think someone's probably made it. You know. But, yeah, I also think, you know, that also Michonne kind of, you know, also warmed up a little bit too. That she's not, like, totally, like shut off. You know,
she actually speaks now, which is nice, so.
Yeah, you know, then I've seen her on Talking Dead. I didn't know that the hair that she wore was a wig. I didn't know that was a wig. You know, because it's just like, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, that was, like, really cool hair. And then also you see her on Talking Dead, like, not the hair and stuff like that. But I was so thinking, you know, that poor Andrew was going to get whacked by her, like, towards the end of the other thing. Was it season three that she was rescued by Michonne? I think it was season three. It was end of season, something like that. But it was that was really intense because, you know, they all just showed this figure, you know, with a katana and two walkers and everything. I'm like, holy crap. You know, she's going to get whacked, you know. I also think, you know, the whole entire part with the governor and everything like that, how, you know, that all happened. That was just, you know, definitely, the governor was definitely crazy because, I mean, he was like, you know, missing a few cards from his deck, you know, towards the end. And then, you know, and then that woman went and, you know, shot on me and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh Jesus, he's going to be a walker. But, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out for the next season. I'm not sure if they're going to be, like, all cannibals or they're going to be, like, you know, start, like, you know, grabbing one person out of the trailer, you know, you're going to be dinner tonight, you know, and, you know. I also think, you know, Carl needs to, you know, loosen up because he's kind of, like a little sociopath going on there, and, you know, and he's, you know, I don't know. I don't know about Carl. I think he's beyond help, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if he got eaten.
Yeah, I was really sad that, you know, that Lori died at the end at the giving birth to Judith. I couldn't do that to my mom and put her out of her misery. I couldn't do that. I'm like, you know, like, I just couldn't look in that episode. I was like, No.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Yeah, and that was really intense, especially, you know, what really got me, though, is when the governor went and killed Herschel. I'm like, oh, that was brutal.
Yeah, I wasn't really thrilled about that.
You know, I was like, oh, my God, you know, and all of a sudden you see, like, a sort of, like almost his head almost got cut off, and you're like, you know, going to town on his body with the sword. I'm not like, oh. I just like how they make it look so real. I mean, like, it actually looked like it's actually, you know, like, you know, blood, guts, and gore. Actually, it's, you know, I just like how they make it look so real.
Yeah, it's really well done. Like, and it has been from the beginning, so.
Right. I tell you the truth, I can so see Pandora being on a few episodes of Walking Dead. You know, I can so see Pandora doing that. You know.
Well, I don't think there's drag in the zombie apocalypse.
You never know.
I can tell you one thing. If there was a zombie apocalypse, the last thing I would be thinking about is putting lipstick on.
You know, I could still see, you know, maybe Pandora being a drag queen, you know, zombie, you're running after somebody or like, I'm like, you know, like, no, you can't, or you might be one of these people who are not a zombie, you know, you're just like one of these people who are like a sole survivor of a zombie, you know, massacre at a, I don't know, like a mansion or something like that, or some dry club, you know, that all the people start turning into walkers and you, like, escape with your life and stuff like that. And you're, like, on the run and you meet all these people who are, you know, survivors of, you know, of different states and stuff like that. You know, I could so see you doing something like that.
Yeah, maybe it's in the gay spoof version of it or something.
There's a
spinoff too. I don't know.
Yeah. I heard it's supposed to be a family friendly version of Walking Dead.
A what version?
A family friendly version of Walking Dead. Nothing like no blood, guts, or anything like that. That's what I've been reading on Facebook.
That's boring.
Yeah, I'm going. It's probably not going to last like two episodes. You know, it's going to get nailed. You know, it's. You know, but that's why I heard they're supposed to be making a family-friendly version of Walking Dead.
Ugh. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so there's not going to be no blood, guts, or gore. There's going to be you can see the zombies, but they're not going to show them ripping into somebody and eating their guts or ripping their faces off or anything. You're not going to see nothing like that. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that's one of the articles that I read on Facebook where they're always like, you know, saying that they're going to do a family-friendly version of it. And there's also the talk that's going around where Walking Dead was canceled after six seasons, but, you know, a lot of people were, like, only freaking out because, they said it was canceled. But when you click on the link, there's, like, no web page at all, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be so mad if they canceled it because, I mean, I would be so mad because, you know, that would go my whole entire Sunday. You know, I'm like, I live for Walking Dead every Sunday, you know, after I get done doing my show. I'm like, well, it's Walking Dead time, you know, turn it on and, you know, and, yeah, I'll be so mad. But, have you seen the new new Netflix show called, The Orange is the New Black?
I have, yes. I haven't seen all of this new season, but I've watched the first season.
Yeah, I'm hooked. I love it because a friend of mine got me hooked on it, and I had to go out, you know, get the first season. I'm like, oh my, this is a really cool show. And I think it's also based on a book. I have never read the book.
Yeah, I haven't either. But it's a great show. Like, I love it. I love all the characters.
So, are you also a fan of True Blood or anything, Pandora?
No, only because I don't get HBO, so I haven't.
Yeah, I don't have HBO.
I haven't watched
either.
It, but I want to watch it though. This is the last season too, so maybe it'll come on Netflix or something.
I think it is on Netflix. I think.
Yeah, but with like the DVDs, I need to get those.
Okay. I know what you're talking about now, because you know, if I lived in California, I would show. Sure, bring them all the movies so you can like watch them. I got like the first five seasons on DVD. I'm like, you're like, you know, like now I'm hooked. You know, like next this. You know, you're like, and it's. I also can see you being in on True Blood too, just playing Pandora. You know, and like Pandora can be like this ancient vampire that just comes for Sookie. You know, and you know, like she's mine. You know.
Well, Pandora actually is a character in Anne Rice's vampire novels. She is an ancient vampire that's in there. Not that show has anything to do with Anne Rice's vampire novels, but it was a part of the reason I chose the name too, because it was in there.
Right, right. And also, you know, like how the Legend of Pandora. Pandora didn't have a box. It was a jar or something.
Yes. Well, that's, yeah, kind of goes back and forth, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, then it was also mentioned, I'm not sure if you were a fan of Charmed, when it was on TV, they talked about Pandora's box and stuff like that, you know, like how she had all the bad emotions sealed in the box and stuff like that. I don't know, like.
Yeah, it was all the evil in the world she let out of the box, but only man's hope was left inside. It's Greek mythology, and I really like that story, too, and I kind of thought you would never know what you expect with a name like that, so that's why.
Right. You know, I'm just always, I was just, first time, I've been waiting to have you on my show for almost, like, I was like about a year or two. And, I'm like, I know you've been really busy and everything. And I contacted your agent and I'm like, is Pandora free on this thing? And they like wrote me back. She was like, yes, she is. Like that. I booked you and everything. Like, got to, talk to you. And, I'm glad that, we got to have you on my show. And you are actually one of my favorite queens from season 2, definitely.
Thank you.
So are you planning on doing anything else, like travel-wise? Are you doing any guest appearances during, like Pride time throughout the United States?
I'm always traveling. I don't really stop traveling. I think I have, a couple of weeks off after. Like, I'm gone for the rest of this month. And, all of my tour dates are always on my website, pandorabox.com. It's the easiest way to find where I'm going to go because sometimes I have to look at my own calendar to know. So, I'm always, it's always traveling, always working.
So do you ever feel that you are kind of like burnt out and that you want to have like me time? And so you can recharge your batteries and just have like downtime where you're like going like, oh, I need some downtime. I need to have some, time so I can relax and stuff like that. Do you ever feel that you are traveling too much and you just want a little break, do you feel like you don't want to burn out too fast?
I feel that all the time. But then when I have too much downtime, then I worry about having too much downtime and I want to be busy. So it goes back and forth.
So have you ever been to Canada yet, Pandora?
Yeah. I used to live in Rochester. It's really close to Toronto, so I went to Toronto a lot. And I've been to Vancouver a few times. So, yeah.
I mean... I personally, went to Toronto. I went to Toronto for Gay Pride and stuff like that. It's, Toronto is more carefree, What I found when I was up in Toronto one year, if you're walking across the street and someone bumped into you and they go like, and some guy said to me, I am so sorry, sir. And I was like looking at my partner. I'm going like, where did that come from? Where did the manners come from? And he goes, we're Canadian, we have manners, And he goes, he was making fun of, us Americans, we don't have manners,
Well, yeah, some Americans don't have manners. But I think that anywhere you go, there's people that don't have manners. It's just that, unfortunately, America has a lot of people that don't. And I don't know, I feel like sometimes when tourists go places, they don't represent us very well because... some Americans tend to think that everything should be done in the American way. So when they go places and things are different, they react really badly. When it's just kind of like, well, you're in a different country, so, cultures are different. Respect the culture. Learn from it or try something different.
Right. I remember the first time, my partners were from Toronto, and, he took me up to Toronto one year for Pride, and I'm going like, I wasn't really feeling it first time, but then you know, it, what I find out to be really funny is that I always had all these young pups, you know, like, you know, I mean, I'm like a piece of steak. And, you know, and I'm going like, I was like, you know, I'm like going like, no, this, that would never happen. You know, and they get, you know, it's like they get so offended, you know, and they go like, you know what, I'm not in your age range. I'm like, you're not, you know, I'm like, me personally, I like older guys, and I'm like, you know, I could never, you know, feel that I'm attracted to younger guys. That's how I am. I'm like, and I go like, oh, you know, I'm like, you know, you're one of those people. I'm like, well, I'm like, hey, you know, it's like kind of like, you know, different strokes with different folks. You know, it's like, you know, I just feel like, you know, like, it's like everywhere I go, I'm like, feel like I'm just being eyed. I'm like, I don't like when people stare at me. I'm like, I like just like say something. I'm like, don't stare, because I don't like when people stare at me. That's how I am. So, that's, you know, so how long are you going to be doing your European tour when you are doing the whole entire Alan Chuck travel thing? Is it like for like one solid week straight, or it's going to be like multiple days?
For the cruise?
Yeah, for the cruise. Is it going to be like 1 week, 2 weeks, or?
Well, there's two in November. There's one, there's a Mayan one, which is a Caribbean cruise, and then there's the European cruise. And I think they're like 7 days, maybe. I'd have to look it up, but it's around that amount of time.
You know, I would love to do a cruise like that, but it's kind of like timing-wise and stuff like that. But I don't think how well I would do being on a ship. You know, I'm like, I couldn't do it. Tell the truth.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and you know, they're pretty reasonably priced too. At least the European one might be a little more, but the Mayan one is great. And actually, the Mayan one is the full chartered boat. So like, European one, it will be a group of people. We won't have the entire boat. But the mine one, it's the whole boat. So everybody's so much fun that goes on the cruise, and it's a great time.
So do you have like all your fans like come up to you and say, you know, Panda, like, can I have a picture or anything, like, you know, like, or like have an autograph or whatever, you know, I mean, do you feel that like all your fans are like bombarding you all at once, you know, that you can't think straight, no pun intended?
No, because, I mean, it is. There's a lot of that, but everybody's really respectful, because I think that they understand it. Like, they really don't want us to get bombarded. So my experience was that everybody was really pretty respectful and nice about it, so.
Yeah, I think that's how, you know, you don't feel like you're going to be bombarded all at once. So you don't, like, you know, your brain doesn't get fried in the process. You're, like, trying to think of what you're going to say or what you're going to do and stuff like that. Or, you know, you don't feel like that you're, you know, like, am I going to have fans at my door, like, at 6 o'clock in the morning asking for an autograph or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's, like, you know, people got to learn, like boundaries, you know, in order to respect your boundaries, so you can, you know, have, you know, time for yourself and not being like, you know, like going like, oh, you know, you're going like, you're gonna, you know, be over like bombarded and stuff like that, overwhelmed, and I also can't thought again. Oh my goodness, this never happened to me on the show. So have you ever worked with Angina from season one from RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yes, I have. We worked on Drag U together, and she lives in LA too, so we've done a lot of local shows. She was on the last cruise too.
Yeah, I recently had her on my show as well. She was really sweet and nice, and you know, I never met her. You know, she kind of reminds me of a friend of mine, you know, and you know, I kind of feel like I've known her for years. That she's kind of like that type of person where she doesn't judge you or anything like that. She's her being her, you know, and I haven't really, you know, seen that much of Angina lately, but I mean, when I was talking to her, you know, she's been busy doing other things, like her day job and all that. I mean, I admire a lot of people who have multiple hats. They can, you know, multitask like their job and their shows and everything. I admire people who do that. I mean, it's like how they can juggle all that, you know, and without feeling, you know, like swamped and, you know, and like, I feel like you're going to go crazy, and, you know.
Yeah, I love Angina. She's great. She just has a really great job, like a day job that she loves, and so she isn't traveling as much, but she's a great performer, too.
Yeah, so are you going to be, like, releasing, like a single, or are you going to be, like, releasing a whole entire CD of songs?
Well, I have a new single that's coming out probably next month, so just one.
Can you tell us the name of it?
Did I what?
Can you tell us the name of the song?
Well, it's a song, it's called Different, and it's a song for anybody that's ever felt different in their life, and that it's okay to be different.
I can't wait to hear, you know, I think it'll be, like, one of my next favorite songs. Right now, I am so hooked on Adore Delano's music, because, I mean, she reminds me of me being, you know, when I was younger, you know, I mean, all the creativity and stuff like that, you know, I mean, I just admire her for all her creativity and how she, you know, can draw all the people in, and do such good music. I mean, I'm so hooked on her music right now.
Yeah, I mean, she's great. I mean, she was on American Idol. I mean, there's a reason why she was on it, because she's a great singer, and she's got a great personality, and she's fun, and she's young, and and she's doing amazing with her music, so I'm happy for her.
Yeah, I'm hoping she might come to Columbus and help I get to see her, because I didn't know her concert sold out that fast, and, you know, like, I'm going, like, wow, that was fast, you know. So I think that'd be really cool, though, if you could work with Adore, you know, being like one of her music videos or something like that. I think that'd be really cool, you know, seeing you in one of her videos, and like having a good old time, and, you know, and.
Yeah, I mean, things like that. It's always scheduling stuff, and if she asked me, of course I would do it. But yeah, because with Alaska's video, it was really just she asked me, and I was here. So because everybody's traveling so much, and it's hard to.
It's so hard to work with your fellow people that you really like working with. You know, it's kind of like, you know, setting up a time where you can all have, like, say, like, Sunday brunch or whatever you want to call it, you know, like, get together and have, like a coffee clutch or whatever, or something, like, you know, you can like, you know, like, bitch about or vent or whatever you want to call it, you know, like, one of the reasons, like, just down and, like, you know, and say what you feel and, you know, without, like, any... I don't want to say any filter, but you got to have a filter on what you say. You know, you don't want people to take it out of context, saying, "Oh yeah, you know, you said this, blah blah blah." You know.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, some people don't have filters. You know, I mean, sometimes I don't, but, you know, I mean, I meant, you know, control what I say, but sometimes it doesn't happen. You know, but it's kind of like, you know. If you're like Regina George from Mean Girls, you know, where you don't stop what you say, you just say, you know, it's kind of like that kind of words. And some people, you know, they don't stop and think what they say. I just think, you know, I'll probably see you in like in one of these things coming up, and maybe, you know, come back to Columbus and, you know, get access to you do like your show. I would definitely would love to see your comedy show and see what that's like. You know, just have a, you know, just like enjoy the show and, you know, and, you know, and I don't know, just keep on enjoying, you know, everything that Pandora does. Cause, I mean, I just have that sense that you're going to be doing like more things that are coming very soon, that maybe you might be on TV or you might be on a movie or something, but you never know. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like how you say, you never know, you know, it's also about, you know, scheduling the time and, you know, people, you know, booking you and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just want to thank you so much, Pandora, for coming on my show. You know, if you want to plug away on what people can, where they can find you next, you know, feel free. You know, I mean, you know.
I mean, everything's on my website, so it's really easy. Like all my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, my calendar, all of it. So it's easy.
Yeah, I just want to thank you so much, Pandora, for coming on my show. I would definitely love to have you back on again. I know you're going to be super busy here, you know, for the rest of the month. You know, I would definitely, you know, touch base with you and see what we can work out. You know, I get a hold of your agent or something like that. We can work out another time for you to come on, and you can chat maybe about the, you know, when Walking Dead comes back. You know, see what, you know, what we feel about the episode, and, you know, and I just had a really good time talking with you, and I would definitely love to have you back on again here very soon.
Oh, well, thank you. I had a great time.
You're very welcome, Pandora.
Okay. Well, have a great day.
Same to you, and happy Pride, Pandora.
Oh, thanks, too. Happy Pride, everybody.
Bye-bye, Pandora. I just want to thank my good friend Pandora Box for coming on the show. She was very sweet and lovely and very, you know, very energetic and talkative. And, you know, I admire Pandora so much for who she is and what she does. You know, if anybody wants to get, you know, to get a hold of her, you can, like, on Facebook, you can find her on, you know, under Pandora Box on Facebook. Or you can go to pandorabox.com.net. One of those two. You can also find her on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. So next week, next Sunday on the 22nd of June, I am having one of my favorite returning guests, Miss Alaska Thunderfuck, coming back on my show. We're going to be talking about the past season of RuPaul's Drag Race and also going to be talking about her new single called My Makeup is Terrible. So we're going to be talking about all kinds of good stuff with Miss Alaska Thunderfuck. We're also going to be talking to her about her trip to Alaska. So, you know, I can't wait to talk to her about that because, you know, I guess her name is Fake Alaska. You know, I so love her. She's hilarious. So that's what I'm going to have on the 22nd is Alaska Thunderfuck. On the 29th, I don't know who I'm having yet, but that's a work in progress. You know, yeah, I'm just going to have some more interesting guests coming on my show here very, very soon. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. You know, I mean, I just want to say happy Pride to everybody, and happy Father's Day. And, you know, I just had a really good time doing my show. You know, I'm going to be pretty busy here very soon because I've got a million things going on right now. So bear with me, everybody. I mean, if you try to get a hold of me on Facebook, if I don't respond, you know, don't get offended or anything like that. I'm just multitasking away. For those who don't know, I'm going to be releasing my book here soon. It's called Columbus Ghosts and Legends, The Darker and Sinister Secrets of the Capital City. That's going to include, like, ghost stories and legends and a true tale of a demonic possession. So that's going to be all in my book. I'm also going to be working on some paranormal stuff with my group here. You know, I'm going to try to get us into some, you know, really cool paranormal events or locations here very soon. And, you know, we're going to be busy doing that. I want to give a shout out to my my good friend, Vicky Howe. This Sunday is her birthday. You know, I'm going to, you know, say happy birthday, Vicky. You know, I can't wait to see you on the 18th. So, you know, we're going to all hang out, you know, get together and like, hang out and everything. I just want to say happy birthday, Vicky. So, you know, I'm not sure if she's listening or not, but I'm just probably at work. We're going to be busy for sure. You know, if anybody wants to know about any of my guests who I had on my show, just feel free to contact me if you want to have them on your show, and I can definitely give you their agent's, you know, email and stuff like that, you know, if you want to have them on your show. I mean, a lot of them, you basically would have to, you know, find out if they have agents from them personally, you know, by going to their Facebook page and find out if they have an agent or they do their own booking or whatever. But, I mean, it doesn't hurt to try. But my goal is to have RuPaul on my show. I'm hoping to get her on my show because, I mean, I've been a really big fan of her for a very long time. So, that's in the works. I got so much in the works, it's not even funny, to tell you the truth. But I just want to say, again, to my good friend Pandora Box from coming on my show. She was awesome. She was very, very sweet. I want to say have a good night, everybody. This is your host, Jason Boucher, from Beyond the Veil of Darkness. And next Sunday will be Alaska Thunderfuck. So check that out. And it's going to be an awesome show with me and Alaska on it. So we're going to be talking away about stuff like that. So I want to have a good night, have a good weekend, and hope every father out there had a wonderful, happy Father's Day and stuff like that. So happy Pride, everybody. Have a good night. Bye-bye.